When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the official Masked Singer podcast.
It's the Masked Singer finale!
Yes, yes, yes.
A production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studio.
How beautiful!
We are the one, the only official podcast for the Masked Singer. You know what time is, man. America's number one show and the biggest best mystery game on TV. What up, everybody? I'm your host, your boy Bow Wow, a.k.a. The Frog from Season 3.
Honey.
You're amazing.
When you hear my voice, you know what that means. You got a hot show coming your way. I'm talking too hot to touch, too hot to handle. That's how hot it is.
I don't want it to be over.
Tonight in the last episode of the podcast for the season, we've got an amazing show for you guys because I have not one personal interview. Two finalists on this season of The Masked Singer. Oh, it's going to be crazy. I ain't never heard nothing like this.
This is quite a treat coming from you.
Before we get into all of that, let's go ahead and see who took home this year's Golden Masked Trophy.
The third place finisher of Season 4's Masked Singer is... The Crocodile.
Take it off! Take it off! Take it off!
Superstar, multi-platinum recording artist, wow. The other NC, Nick Carter!
Nick Carter!
Mushroom is our runner-up.
Mushroom!
Take it off!
Take it off! Take it off!
Ladies and gentlemen, Superstar recording artist, songwriter.
Hello. Hello, Black.
Wow.
Oh, he's so good.
This is it.
I can't even hold your guys' hands.
The winner of this season's Golden Mask is The Sun. Sun, congratulations. You are a true queen, the queen of the Masked Singer. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Who's behind the mask of our champion? Take it off!
Come on.
Oh my God! It's LeAnn Rimes! Grammy Award winning legendary artist! So good to finally see you!
Yeah.
Man, what a season! I'm talking about amazing performances all around. We saw Ken almost shed a tear a little bit. We've seen Cass unmask himself and walk off. I mean, this has been a crazy season.
This is the best finale ever.
It is.
Let's go ahead and check in with my home girl, Jen. Jen, what's going on? Or should I say Miss O'Donnell? What's going on, Jen?
Thanks, Bao. Hey, all you guessers, searchers, and wonderers out there. We made it to the last Mask Scoop Report of Season 4. Let's talk about how we did. In some cases, we nailed it. In others, we were way off. But hey, we guessed our hearts out and searched high and low for evidence for every rumor and theory out there online, including the toughest one of the season, I think, Mushroom, a.k.a. Aloe Black, a.k.a. Egbert Nathaniel Dawkins III. That's his real name. Remember Mushroom said he changed his name for the stage? I do, but this was still a shocking reveal for sure. Those clues were there the whole time, though. The buck, the cheddar, the doll hair, all references to his hit, I Need a Dollar. Also, the hats. We saw a lot of hat clues that threw us off a bit, but now we know it was always Allo Black, who is adorable in fedoras. Next, Crocodile. The internet did some really great guesswork here to get to Nick Carter. Honestly, I think the Masked Singer slash boy band fans are a real force to be reckoned with. Way, way back, I actually saw a post from a Nick Carter fan who remembered a story from his autobiography about how he won $100 performing in a contest as a kid. This ended up being a story Croc told in one of his clue packages. Wow, these aren't just things you can Google. You really have to be a fan and a sleuth. I'm so impressed. And finally, we guessed her at one point, and we could never quite put our finger on it because, come on, she's the sun. But now we know she's superstar singer Leanne Rimes. All the blue in her packages, a reference to her first hit, Blue. The angels we saw, a nod to her album, Twisted Angel. Hey, we did guess correctly about that Northern Lights clue that references the movie set she met her husband on, though. I like being right. And that is all the scoop for this season. Happy holidays, and back to you, Bow Wow.
All right, thanks, Jen. Before we get into all of our interviews, we're going to do something just a little bit different for our last episode. And yes, that's right, the frog, the boy Bow Wow, I'm going to answer some listener questions from you guys that you guys been writing into me. Let's go ahead and dive right into it. All right, my first question is, who were some of your favorite guests that you've talked to? Shout out to James from New Orleans. You guys have some of the best food in the world. Candy, of course, Candy. I got to start with family. Candy Burris. We're talking about last season's champ, someone who is going down in history, first female to ever win it. It was fun just catching up with her and hearing her side of the fence because, you know, she knew it was me the whole time, but I didn't know it was her until like the end of the show. This is a funny story that you don't know. So as we were getting closer to the final, sis, I was like, so everybody kept telling me, yo, Turtle and that Night Angel, they was like, yo, Bow, like, yo, Frog, this is who you gonna have to watch out for. Like, all that dancing and electrify, that's dope. Like, that's gonna get you there. And the next day, when I heard you warm up, I said, oh my God, it's Candy. And it was so weird for me, because once I knew it was you, when we walked out on the stage, and then, like, we would start to interact with each other. Because remember, towards the end, we had to interact on stage, and it was so weird. And I want to ask you, at what point, did you know that I was Frog?
I figured it out.
All right, so you got it. How did you figure it out? How did you know it was me?
I figured you out before you figured me out. I know that. You were doing your sound check, and they had me going backstage, and you were doing the crisscross song, and you were doing the miggity, 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 that part. And can't nobody do that flawlessly but you. And you were doing it flawlessly. I said, I know who that is. I knew it. And so from that point on, I used to get a kick out of just walking right up on you whenever we all had to be in the same room. I would just get a kick out of walking right as close as I could next to you because I knew you had no clue to who I was.
I did.
But I knew exactly who you were.
Yo, that's so crazy. Here we go. Like this one. What did you learn about the Masked Singer that you never knew before? This is coming from Kathy T from Seattle. Oh, man. Shout out to the team, man. The whole entire Masked Singer staff and all the guys that are, you know, making sure that we're safe, hanging the lights up, our grip guys, our stage managers, just everybody who's a part of the whole entire show. You know, it's a collective group effort. And also, big shout out to the Clue Queen and Clue Czar. That's right. Because without them, I mean, come on. I mean... I get stuck every time the word clue is even brought up. So the fact that they were there to not only twist our brains a little bit, but also help us figure these things out and get us closer to who we think, you know, is underneath these costumes. Without them, I mean, listen, we would be even more lost than what we might already be. I cannot forget about Miss Marina Toybina. I cannot, because you are responsible for holding it down. That's right. All the costumes. I'm talking about the whatchamacallit, the frog, the sun, the popcorn, the dragon. Hey, listen, baby alien. Listen, I gotta go ahead and give you your roses. You did, and you continue to step it up and just take it to the next level every season. You know, this season I'm watching and I'm like, yo, baby alien, he's sitting in the helmet and
How in the world? Then I'm watching whatchamacallit. I'm like, all right, this is okay.
That's now a lot it's, of hair.
It's oh my goodness. Where do you draw like the inspiration for these characters?
Oh man, you know, it's everywhere. I feel like the show gave me the platform to run wild with imagination, and things that I see every day are just so interesting and unique to me that I try to figure out what can we do different every season. And with season four, it was an interesting kind of process because we're stuck in this pandemic. You know, the world is in an uneasy place, and we're also limited. I'm limited on resources. You know, I'm not able to go into the fabrics I want to like visit or things that I want to get. So I think like almost magic happened with season four, where it took me back to the basics, you know, and drawing inspiration from my childhood and drawing inspiration from my friends and family members and audience.
All right. This next one is coming from Scott. What up, Scott? He's from Beantown. That's right, Boston. If you've never been to Boston, you should definitely go down there and visit, man. Let's jump right into the question. What was the best story behind the clue package that you heard a guest tell? See, ooh, that's tough. Broccoli. Definitely my main man, Paul Anka. You know, just talking about his legendary history and, you know, his past and how his clues were leading us to his buildup of his career, him writing songs for Sinatra, and how his songwriting and songs that he actually wrote for Sinatra were a part of his clue package. One thing that I definitely wanted to ask you, though, who was the Big Cheese and what was that project?
I had dinner with the legendary friend, the Big Cheese.
I need your help on one final project before I grow moldy. Capiche?
I raced home, and after pulling an all-nighter, I cooked up a beauty that really packed a punch.
The Big Cheese is probably Sinatra.
Whoa. Okay.
You know, so now, because I'm with Sinatra, I'm hanging with these guys.
Right.
And, you know, it's the steam room, it's showgirls, it's fun. Nobody's watching you. You know, Kennedy's showing up. I mean, I'll leave out all the details. So, you know, we're having a good time. And through it all, I'm this kid, you know, working two shows a night, sometimes 6 weeks in a row. And these guys are, you know, they're my mentors. But in there, Frank's always teasing me, when you're going to write me a song, you know. And I see Sinatra down in Florida. He flew in to do a movie. And I'm working the Fountain Blue Hotel. We go to dinner. And he said, kid, he said, I'm quitting show business. I'm going to retire. You know, when you hear that from a guy like that, that's a major blow, you know. So I said, I can't believe it. He says, I'm doing one more album before I retire with Don Costa, who was my producer, who found me and who I introduced to Sinatra. So anyway, I go back to New York, where I'm living at the time. I sit down, 12 midnight, major thunderstorm outside. And I start writing it metaphorically as if Sinatra were writing the song. I finished it at 5 a.m. I called him at Caesar's Palace where he was working. I said, sir, I got something, blah, 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 blah. He said, bring it out. So I flew out, gave it to him. He looked at me, and he was always very cool. He was always Frank Sinatra. He said, I love it, kid. I really dig it. I'm going to do it. And then I got a call 4 months later. He was in a studio in L.A., and I'm in New York, and the operator said, Frank Sinatra calling. Okay, you know, when he calls you, jump. So I get on the phone. He says, kid, listen to this. And he put the phone up to a speaker at, I think it was Sunset Sound or one of the studios. And I heard Sinatra for the first time over the phone doing My Way. I said, wow, and I started crying.
Speaking of Paul, man, it was amazing just to even learn so much about him and hear his story and just, you know, realizing how much we had in common, you know, him starting young and him getting, you know, all of his lessons taught to him about the business and just different things like that about music from, you know, people who he looked up to. And that's myself, whether it's Snoop or Jermaine Dupri, you know, it just was a mirror image for me. And by the way, Paul, if you're listening, I'm definitely not forgetting about that nice red wine of yours that you have. Let's keep it locked right here. You guys know what it is, the official podcast for the Masked Singer, iHeartRadio, KT Studios. All right, y'all, man. Right now, I want to go ahead and bring in one of tonight's Unmasked finalists. He is a Grammy-nominated singer, rapper, producer, and run-up on season four of The Masked Singer. Here it is, man. The Mushroom, a.k.a. my dude, Allo Black, is in the building. What's going on, bro?
What's happening? How you doing, man?
Now, man, everything's good, man. Talk to me about your pick, your costume pick, man, the mushroom.
You know, I have two kids, a 4-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl. My daughter loves playing dress up. She wears all kinds of dresses and princess dresses and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this seems like something in her fantasy world and fantasy land that she would appreciate. So I'm going to rock this mushroom right. outfit for her. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm also really big on growing your own fruits and vegetables and plants at home. And so every seed right. that we get goes into the ground. Every seed from a passion fruit to guava seed to a mango to a avocado. Mm. We even sprout potatoes. So I was like, mushroom really makes sense because right now, you know, with my hands in the dirt dealing with a lot of this earth, mushrooms are a reality.
Right. That's deep. I know one thing. I'm coming up your house to grow some shit. I'm telling that right now. Look, ain't no games.
I'm trying to keep it fresh over here.
Now, what did you find challenging with performing inside of this mushroom outfit?
Yeah, the outfit definitely was hard to perform in. So because I chose the mushroom outfit, I've got a stem. I don't have two free legs to walk around and do all the movement that I would do.
Oh.
When I'm on stage performing, I like to dance. I like to do funky grooves. I do my little James Brown moves and stuff on stage. But here I had to be more constrained and poised. So everything I did was more like just feminine moves, just very graceful feminine moves, like a ballerina. Right.
First of all, I thought you were a woman, but I think you're a man underneath there.
You never know. You never know. Season 4.
Did you go in there with that type of strategy saying like, yo, I'm going to pitch my voice up when I sing this record? Or was you like, you know what? The outfit is enough and I don't really have to go to extra stretch to prove to the people it's not who I really am.
Yeah, no, I really wanted to play the game. I really wanted to throw everybody off from the audience to the panel, the judges, to even Nick, because Nick is standing right next to you and he can hear your voice when you're talking, even though they throw the little voice pitch on it for the home audience and for the panelists. Look, I just wanted to be sure that I was doing as much as I could to stay in the game as long as I could. Cause it's fun. Like just have some fun. And I think it paid off. Like I threw them off for the first several episodes. And then Nick started to get a sense of who it was sooner than most people.
Now, one thing about you that I find that's definitely dope and interesting, man, is that you write. You are a songwriter.
That's my favorite part of the game, man.
By you writing for so many other artists, did that help you? You know, with The Masked Singer being that, you know, you did have to sing other people's records on the show. Did, you know, your writing history, did you use any of that? Did you implement that to your game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, because I write many and varied styles, I wanted to use all of those different styles in my competition face on The Masked Singer. I wanted to come in and, you know, when they asked me what kind of songs I wanted to sing, I was like, female power ballads. Let's go with those. Because I think, first of all, I'm going to be able to hit a spot in my vocal tone and my timbre that will throw the judges off. But at the same time, I'll still be able to hit these notes for the most part. Just being able to write for different people put me in a mentality, in a mind space where I have a lot of different tools to grab from.
Wow! All right. We are in the presence of greatness.
That was hot! Mushroom, I think you might be unbeatable.
Absolutely. Last week, he focused more on his falsetto. This week, he sang in his more natural belt voice, and he totally switched it up.
Totally.
Thank you.
The feeling of being unmasked. How did you feel when it was time to be revealed?
The character.
Well, when it was time to be revealed, I was sort of sad that the whole journey was over. Honestly, I was like, oh man, I would like one more song, just one more opportunity to sing again. And then seeing the judges' faces. When I looked at Robin's face, though, he looked really, really surprised. Kind of surprised, but like also like really happy at the same time. Right. Because out of all the people on the panel, he's the one I've met before, and it was just for me. you know, kind of a surreal moment. Like, okay, this is it. This is it. I've spent the past, I don't know how many performances up here in a mask. Ooh. And now you're getting to see who this is for real.
You got to tell me, bro, what attracted you to music?
I got to know. It has to be the energy that my family engaged with music. My parents are from Panama, which is Central America. So when I went to party with the family, there was all kinds of salsa music blaring, merengue, soca, calypso. You know, the guys would be playing dominoes. My mom and her friends would be cooking up patacones and yuca frita and arroz con pollo. So the whole energy, that energy made me feel like music was something really special. Just that the cultural energy around it. And then hip hop ended up being my first entry into music, was writing rhymes.
I gotta hear this. Yeah, who was your favorite rapper growing up?
I thought at 9 years old, I thought I was LL Cool J. I was writing rhymes. I was writing rhymes like I was, you know, coming out of that era where he had the Bigger and Deffer album, I'm Bad, and the Bristol Hotel, and I Need Love. Like, all my rap sounded like LL Cool J until I found Ice Cube. Then I wanted to be Ice Cube. And then I found Q-Tip. Then I wanted to be part of the Native Tongue family. Then I wanted to be one of the Far Side. Like, you know, 90s hip hop was my thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was the golden era of hip hop. Another thing I wanted to touch on with you, bro, that I didn't get a chance to mention is not only do you rap, you write. You can sing your butt off. We know that. But USC, you got a scholarship to USC. How does that translate into your music? I mean, pretty much, can I just say this? It seems like you've done it all. What haven't you done yet?
Man, I've only scratched the surface. Look, my dad is the one who's done it all. So he was an English professor in Panama. He's one of the smartest people I know. And so education and academia was really important. I did really well in high school, got a full tuition scholarship to USC here in Southern California. And then I studied communication and linguistics and psychology. Those are the things I was interested in. If I had to pay for college, I probably would have went for engineering because I would have had to pay those bills back.
Exactly.
And I feel like I use my education, you know, on a daily basis as a communicator. You know, I think my academia days are over. Just yesterday, my dad was asking me when I'm going to go get a PhD. I'm like, Dad! Can't you see? I got things going on right now.
Hey, look. Hey, Alo, all you got to do is tell Pops. Hey, Pops, chill out, man. I'm nominated for Grammy. I'm Grammy nominated now.
Exactly.
We ain't got to go backwards now. We're going forward, okay? I'm trying to build my own university here. That's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And speaking of music, man, your song choices were pretty diverse. Why did you choose these songs, and do you have a personal connection with these records?
Each of the songs that I chose, I have some sort of connection with, or I really respect the singer and the song and the producers of those songs. So with like Cher and Turn Back Time, that was a song that for me growing up was like, it was powerful. Cher was one of those artists that really embodied female power and respect. And
talk about it.
My sister was the singer of the family, and she liked Cher a lot. So like, I got to hear a lot of her songs because of my sister until I became the singer of the family. Maxwell's song, his version of This Woman's Work by Kate Bush, another powerful artistic songwriter, Kate Bush, but Maxwell's version is the quintessential in my opinion. And when I was just getting my feet wet, making the transition from hip hop to singing, becoming a vocalist, one of the songs I would practice a lot was This Woman's Work, the Maxwell version. And so I thought, okay, this ties back to my history coming up and trying to develop as a singer. And here I am on TV and traveling the world and doing all these things as a vocalist. It's a nice little connection.
Biggest part of The Masked Singer, of course, the clues. The clue package, and you know how the fans are, they're always trying to break down the clues. So I'm going to need your help to break down some of the things from your clue package this season. One was, even as a young shroom, I knew I was off beat. I often felt like I didn't belong anywhere compared to everybody else. I had total different roots. I was around strange food and customs. Now that I've embraced being a nerd and outcast, I can express my unique gifts.
I felt like I was different. That's because my parents are from Panama. I grew up, I was not only the son of immigrants, right? So that's one point of removal from American culture. But then I was black, in a white neighborhood. So that's a whole other kind of,
right,
you know, distancing myself from what the normal culture of my neighborhood was.
Right.
And so I was definitely like one of five Black kids in my neighborhood that went to my school. And it was, you know, I was different. I was different, but I was able to make my way and make a lot of friends and still, you know, have a good time and have a good experience.
A word that you use, I look at it and it's so dope, and I wish I actually came up with it, but it's all yours. I promise I'm not gonna steal your drip, man. You call yourself an artivist.
Yes,
which I
sir.
Think is super dope. Tell me what that means.
Well, I am an artist who is an activist. I use my voice for positive social transformation, just like when James Brown was singing "I'm Black and I'm Proud," or when Stevie Wonder was saying "Happy Birthday" to Martin Luther King. Like mm-hmm. when Nina Simone and Donnie Hathaway and Marvin Gaye, they would use their art for social change. And
you're
so I
so
try
right.
to do the same.
Yeah, man. And you're doing a well good job at it. But Allo, bro, I appreciate your time. Congratulations on everything. Get a family my love. And I hope you stay safe during this crazy time, bro. And you know we're going to blossom up out of this thing, man. You know we're going to bounce back. And I'm going to see you on the other side, my brother.
Right on. Thank you. All love, everything.
All that, man. You hear the boy, man. Allo Black in the building. All right, back to the questions. What was the most heartwarming moment of the podcast to you this season? This is coming from Aaron from Hartford, Connecticut. Dr. Elvis. And I know you guys knew I was going to mention that one. Ken, watching, you know, Dr. Elvis perform live and watching him just be moved by that performance. Everyone knows Ken's background as a doctor and how much that means to him. And he's always, you know, putting those type of things in his movies and in TV. He tries his best to fit that other side of him in there, and it moved him. And that's what it's all about.
You know, that's what a real doctor does, man. He's an orthopedic surgeon. I was a generalist. This guy is smarter than any doctor on the planet. And there's just truly no one more talented than him. And I'm crying because I'm jealous that you're more talented than me. And but I just want you to know, man, you just got us through a very difficult time. And, you know, we love you so much.
All right. This next one is coming from Carolyn. I hope I said this. And Allison. Oh, from Columbus, Ohio. I think I know a little something about that place. I was born there. Grant Hospital. Yes, yes, yes. The Buckeye State. Let's go ahead and get into it. She says, who was the funniest guest you had on this season? Ooh, tough. Bob Saget was hilarious.
How many did you get through? Where did you go? Did you win the thing?
Almost. I got to the finals.
Oh,
I got to
man.
The finals with Turtle and Night Angel. I'm not going to lie, but I thought I had it. I thought I knew I felt it. And I got voted off first in the finale, and it hurt.
It took me about 6 seconds for it to really, and I'm a pretty quick reactor, to let it sink in and go, oh, no, Squiggly. I'm Squiggly. I think I went into Squiggly shock after it ended. And then they take your head off. And they yell, take it off, take it off.
Take it off, take it off,
Saget, take it off.
And that's, I don't want to say it's humiliating, but I'm not a stripper, you know. So.
All right, you guys, the Masked Singer Podcast, and I'm coming back at you. I got to roll out the red carpet for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, this one right here is going to be special. Let me go ahead and introduce an amazing artist. She is a Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter who's released 6 platinum albums, nothing gold, I said platinum, and is now the winner of season 4 of The Masked Singer. Here she is, LeAnn Rimes is in the building.
Oh my God, it's LeAnn Rimes! Grammy Award-winning legendary artist! So good to finally see you!
Yeah!
You are amazing! Wow! Congratulations.
Winner. Is that okay? Can I just call you the winner?
Sure. That sounds good to me. That was a great intro. Thank you very much.
Man, look, for the winner, listen, Leanne, it's only right, okay? I had to roll the red carpet out for you. This is the first time I interview any winner of anything regarding The Masked Singer. So,
oh, awesome.
So how does it feel? I got to ask you right off the bat. How do you feel?
It feels good. It's so fun creating a character and It just feels like it was a lot more work than I expected it to be, and wearing the thing and all the things. So it was to be on the other side of it and have won it. It feels good because there was a lot of heart that went into the whole show.
Craig, I saw you had your head in your hands. You were so emotionally moved.
All my life, I've felt the heat of the sun. I had never heard the voice of the sun.
Wow.
Until now.
Wow.
You are a legend in the game. You have so many hit records. Did you have to do anything different as far as trying to throw the audience off or trying to throw the judges off? What was your strategy going into this?
There's no way I can, you know, disguise my voice. Mm-hmm. And if I tried, then I would be kind of doing a disservice to, like, myself. And I want to come on there and sing.
Right.
Right. So they were like, no, honestly, we tell everybody, really just bring out who you are. And from the moment I started singing, everyone knew. I mean, everybody knew.
Everybody.
I know. And I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, there's just no way. People know my voice. People have grown up with me for 25 years. Like, it has been challenging to see my Twitter. My Twitter is blown up constantly, man. People saying stuff. And it's so hard to keep the secret.
Yeah, you can't say watch me on Wednesday. That one's trying to take me out. Yeah, you can't say nothing.
No, you can't say anything. My mom's texting me, friends are texting me. Of course, they know my voice and I can't say anything. I'm just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I keep throwing people off, like, I know. So people keep saying that this is some girl sounds like me and she sounds great. So I'm really looking forward to figuring out who it is. Yeah, I definitely couldn't throw people off. Like, that was gonna be a hard one to do.
There was always in all of the clue packages, they were like blue wings or blue butterflies or something. We obviously know her for her first major hit, Blue. I think it could be LeAnn Rimes.
Ah. And you just got to one of my other questions. What lie did you have to throw at hubby and the family to let them know, like, I'm going to be a little busy and occupied, but I can't really let you off the way in on what I'm doing.
Totally. So I was basically in the studio, which I have been. I was the great thing was I've been in and out of the studio. So I've been able to be like, oh, I'm just in the studio. So it wasn't really a lie. Completely. That was hard. It was definitely hard to keep. My mom has been, like I said, texting me, like, when it hasn't been my week, she's like, oh, you're not on this week. I'm like, I can't answer you back, mom. I can't talk to you about this. Everybody has been watching the show and I think they're very excited that the culmination ended up being what it is.
Oh, my goodness. I got to know this, too. What drew you to the sun? That's what I want to know.
We started talking about a lot of Earth kind of elements, and they had this beautiful costume of the moon, and we all knew, like, I couldn't do that with Can't Fight the Moonlight. That would have been, like, too bright on the nose. And so I was like, let me think about this for a moment. I'm like, well, I could go opposite and be the sun. And that kind of clicked for me. So I've had this, like, whole celestial body in the sky between the sun, and I've been the moon with Can't Fight the Moonlight. It's like I've owned both the sun, or the daytime and the nighttime, which I love. The sun also felt like really important for me. My message that I wanted to bring into the show is, you know, and the joy I wanted to bring to people's homes was, you know, to bring some light and love in a moment of darkness. And I don't think there's another show on television that really brings this kind of joy to our homes right now, you know? So I definitely had a very specific idea and a very, very specific, like, feeling that I wanted to conjure up within the costume.
I am obsessed. Let me tell you something. You chose the perfect costume for all that you do, baby, because you could not have shone brighter tonight. Yes. Good job.
Absolutely.
Walk me through your song choices, because, I mean, you took us everywhere. You gave us some Lizzo, you gave us some Kesha, some Janis Joplin. I mean, you took it there. So what made you choose these records, and do you have a personal connection with these songs?
Some of them, yes. I mean, Lizzo, I love. That was a fun thing for me to come out with, because it was so opposite of, like, I think what people conjure up with this idea they have of me in their head, and it was kind of opposite of everything. That was an awesome first choice. I had so much fun with that song. And then the Janis Joplin number was great because I got to move and play around with that. So yeah, so Billie Eilish is something that I've covered that I did a cover on YouTube and people, like, really, really dug it. That was kind of when I started to dig into a few things that I really have done before. And then the story ends up as the culmination of the whole thing is actually something I have covered on a record. And so, yeah, we were talking about me doing one of my own songs and then like doing How Do I Live or something at the end. Then they were like, we'll let you do something that you've covered. I'm like, cool. So I ended up with a story. So yeah, it was fun.
And I just got to say this. Every guest that I've had on this show, when I ask them, who's the competition? Who are you low-key kind of, you know, afraid of in a way? And I'm not just saying this because you're here. Every last guest on the podcast mentioned the sun. And even the panel, like you had Nicole in tears after one of your performances. I just want to ask you from a performer standpoint, how did that make you feel to watch what you've done? I mean, you're performing other records, but it's your voice, it's you singing it and watching it affect other people. How did that make you feel?
I bow down to the sun. Jenny is standing on her chair. Craig is emotional. Nicole in tears. What do you want to say to the sun?
I just love you. Like, it's the reason why I love music so much. It transcends anything, and you have such a gift. Like, just listening to you, all I could do is just exhale and just breathe. Just listening to you, I could listen to you forever. You have a voice of the heavens. That was flawless. You are flawless.
Even as a child, before anyone knew who I was, there was still a story that always preceded me. Even, you know, the first time people heard me, there was still that idea of like, oh my God, here's this 13-year-old girl with this big voice. And so I think there's always these other ideas and judgments that people have when they've seen me for so long. And to be behind a mask, especially as a woman in this industry, like, you know, there's always some people are judging the way you look and, you know,
correct,
so many different things. And this is the first time people I felt like got to really feel me and feel the energy and the things that come through me when I perform. And that was what was beautiful was then the reaction that the judges had so many times was like, oh my God, that went through me. Like it, you know, I really like felt that deeply. And that was what I so desired to do on that show was like to get, you know, we're in a lot of feelings right now, and I want I want people to feel all of them. And I feel like that's kind of what I've been here to do. My whole life is to kind of take people into their hearts. And to be honest, it was really overwhelming, like the amount of love from the judges. And it was just really, really sweet.
And speaking of the battle, what's the story behind you meeting Nicole in a bathroom?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you on this big stage because last time we met was in the bathroom.
Whoa.
I love it.
Talk
so
about
much.
Angelic.
I thought it was going to be something glorious. I've had the most glorious meetings in the bathrooms at award shows.
Nicole, is it ringing the bell?
Ironically, I've met a lot of people in the bathroom, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I think we were at some like Grammy event or something along those lines. And I just had ran into her literally in the bathroom. She was in there singing, I think, actually like warming up for something. And we ran into each other in the bathroom. So that's where I met her. I'm, you know, the bathroom's a hot spot to meet people, I guess. So
I know, right?
Especially at events like that.
One thing we do have in common is, you know, we both started at an early age and the music bug bit us early. How did you actually get interested in singing? Was this something that you know, what artists did you listen to or was it the family?
I kind of came out singing. I really did. My dad has tapes of me singing when I was 18 months old and I'm from Mississippi. And so I had this, you could barely understand a word what I was saying when I was speaking because I had already had like this little Southern drawl and knew only a few words. And then you would turn music on and what I would sound like when I sang with the music was like super clear. And it was weird. It's so weird at 18 months old. My dad played like classic rock and country and around the house, my mom played Motown. My godmother was super into classical and Broadway show tunes. So like I ran the gamut of music around me. And so I've never known boundaries with music. If it moves me, I love it. And I think I took little pieces from all of them and made my own thing, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that all artists have their own little thing. And I think that's what makes, you know, musician and makes music and artist so unique. So what I want to do is I want you to help me break down some of these clues, okay? Now,
okay.
Like I said, the people know I'm the worst when it comes to the clue guessing. So let's see if we can get close
Okay.
To breaking this stuff down. Okay, so one, you said I missed out on a lot of my childhood growing up.
Yes.
All right. But lately, I've made up for that lost time discovering childlike outlets to make life so magical, like going into the woods to find harmony in nature. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, my husband and I have an RV, and we go into the desert a lot and go, like, we ride side by sides and that kind of thing. And I love the trees. Like, we'll go up to Mammoth a lot. I love going up and hiking around Mammoth. And yeah, so it's our RV that they're talking about and getting out into nature that way.
Now, this is going to stump you a little bit because the visual clues get everybody. And this is, like, my favorite part. So in your visual clues, you had a jaguar.
Yes.
We saw plastic cows. We saw a gold member card. And we also saw a Mickey Mouse silhouette. Is there anything that you could tell us about those visual clues?
So Jaguar, I wrote a children's, two children's books. And the main character in the children's books were a jaguar. So that would be that one. And then the cows, I did a song, a duet with Eddie Arnold when I was like 13 or something, and a song called Cattle Call. I think that might have been the cows.
There was a Mickey Mouse silhouette.
I did a Disney special when I was 13. That was really big. People remember that special for some reason, like, a lot. So I think that was probably that link. And I also recorded the 50th anniversary song for Disney. So that could have been it too. So I have had a Disney affiliation for a while. Yes.
I was informed that you have some big things popping. Go ahead and get that off. And you got a podcast coming. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
I do. I have a podcast right now that just came out called Holy Human. You can find it on iHeart or wherever you find your podcast. And then I also have a chant record that just came out, going a little into the spiritual side of things and doing something different. It's called The Human and the Holy. So yeah, and hopefully I'll have new music out like within the next few days. So just
they're gonna be wanting that.
Checking for that. Yeah. There's I'll have a new song out soon called If I Could Throw My Arms Around the World. So yeah, good things are happening. Lots of good things.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, now this is the exit. I had to let you get that out there.
Thank you.
But thank you once again. Thank you so much. Season 4 is Chamley and Rhyme in the building. You know how we getting down. All right, and my last question comes from Sam from Atlanta. That's right. Shout out to the ATL one time. It's about time we got somebody from Atlanta through. That's right. Sam wants to know, what's next for me? What is next for the Frog? Well, I have Fast and Furious 9 on the way. Very excited about that. A lot of you all been hitting me on a daily asking me, you know, when are you going to do another movie? When are you going to do another movie? When are you going to be back in Fast and Furious? Well, here it is. The wait is over. Fast and Furious will be out in April. I'm very excited, privileged. It's an honor to be back a part of the franchise. A brand new album is on the way. There's so much stuff that I'm getting into. My online store, bwapparel.com. Make sure you guys check that out. A lot of hot stuff on there. I got things for everybody, girls, the kids, sweatsuits, beanies, whatever it is that you like, flip-flops for all the people that like to walk around with no shoes. I'm that type of person. That's why I made the flip-flops, okay? There's a lot of things going on with me. And if you want to know what's going on with me, what's going on with me, just check out my social medias. You guys know where to find me at on social. Twitter is at SMoss. And of course, on Instagram, it's Shad Moss, S-H-A-D-M-O-S-S. Yes, that's my real name. I go by that too. But like I said, I could be here all day talking about the things that I have going on, but I don't want to do that, right? Because it's not about me. It's about we. And, you know, it is sad to end this thing like this, but you know what they say, man, all great things do come to an end. And you guys know we will be back. Okay. We will be back. We will be back. I repeat, we will be back. Season 5 is on the way, which means one thing. Who else gonna bring you the season 5 news? Who else gonna bring you all the behind the scenes news of season 5, baby? Of course, me, your boy. I love you all. And of course, shout out to Fox. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity. Shout out to my KC Studios family. I love you guys. Appreciate you guys. You guys do a wonderful job at making this whole thing pop. Masked Singer, hottest show on TV. Read about us if you don't know about us, but you should. I'm out the building. Until next time, I'm out of here, baby. I love you. The official Masked Singer podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to tune in to The Masked Singer on Fox every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.